With threats to our nation waiting around every corner, adaptability is more important than ever. When conditions change without notice, quick strategic thinking is crucial, and with obstacles consistently impending, determination is essential in overcoming them. It's this willingness, decisiveness, and resilience that sets Marines apart. With our fighting spirit, we don't just fight battles, we win them. Marines are the constant our nation counts on to fight the unknown, and through adaptable problem-solving, we do just that. Learn more at marines.com.
Back, run like a wild man.
I watched you struggle and I watched you wrestle with them angels.
There he is. From Auburn University, Bo Jackson.
Bing right now.
Oh, sure.
Perfect.
We're live on YouTube, by the way.
We've been live. I told an embarrassing story already on YouTube.
Yeah.
Jeez,
the correct Jordan-Hare Stadium time is 9:18 Eastern Standard Time. That's 8:18 God's time.
It's the devil's time.
Your digital audio device is tuned into the Orange and True podcast, harbored by collegeofmagnolia.com. Greetings and salutations, Orange and Truthers. For the last time this winter, coming to you from Virginia, I am Son of Crow, at Son of Crow 2 on Twitter, at Son of Crow on Venmo. Across the internet airwaves is the rumor monger, Ryan Starrett, at Ryan S. Starrett.
How's it going?
The S is for SEC opening champ. The other side of me, giving you full Fort Payne ASMR, also coming to you live via Skype. A man of taste, a man with 1,000 generations inside of him, at AU Chief. A man with a cup full of ice. Oh, man.
Get that ASMR going.
Right into the mic.
Hey, guys.
On today's show, do we have show notes, Rhino?
Yeah, a little bit.
We got some breaking news.
We got some breaking news. J.B. Grimes, Auburn O-line coach, left the program. Yeah. Does that mean fired?
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
allowed to retire, as I like to think.
I'm drinking whiskey out of a wine glass, so I don't know anything anymore.
So that's a good thing, right?
Well, I don't know. Is it a good thing?
Well, it's never a good thing when someone loses their job.
It's a good thing for everybody, but J.B. Grimes.
Lead off of that. Yeah.
Yeah, that's J.B. Grimes has been with the program, left the program, been with the program again, and gone. You know, it's tough to blame our current situation totally on him, but at least some of it has to be on him for not developing the guys, because he's been back here for 2 years now. So you have to think that played a part in his departure.
Well, not only not developing, but I mean, really struggling in recruiting, too. I mean,
right.
Not bringing very many guys in last year and then having to really lean into the JUCOs this year.
Right. So I guess the proof, as it were, was in the pudding, not to make an elder joke since he is an older guy, just to, you know, turn a phrase.
He's like what, like 5 years older than you?
Yeah. All right. It's interesting. Who do we think is going to replace him? I think our Slack has one suggestion. I don't know if we want to talk about that.
Former NFL great Kendall Simmons is my favorite.
Super Bowl champion.
Pittsburgh Steelers,
Ryan.
Super Bowl
champion.
Ryan, the Pittsburgh Steelers are a football team that used to be really good.
Until all of their talent left in 1 year. Is that right?
But I like Mike Tomlin. He's real chill. I think he'd be a good coach in the college, actually.
Omar Epps?
Yes. Yes, he looks exactly like Omar Epps.
So he's a good doctor, right?
Yeah, well, yes.
No, he's right. Not a good doctor. Nothing on House was good doctoring. He's an effective
doctor. You don't want your doctor just having a pill addiction?
Or just testing you for literally everything. The insurance bill at a house, like after you go to see House, was in the millions of dollars.
Well, I had to. Every time I'd watch, I'd think, "Is this like a charity hospital?"
Yeah,
because There's no way anybody's paying for all these tests.
Oh no! Like if you're like Aetna and you find out that your client has gone to see Dr. House, you're like, oh crap, we're gonna have to pay $1 million for this guy.
No insurance companies would provide for him. Like,
sure,
they wouldn't let you use him.
This dude does full body scans on every patient.
But anyway, Kendall Simmons.
Yeah, I think he might be the betting favorite right now.
I got talking about.
I think a lot of people want him there. Yeah,
sure. Of course, he's already on staff. I don't know if everybody knows that he's an analyst, right?
I think it's actually not sure. I didn't know
analyst.
That.
A new start.
He's also diabetic.
Yes, he's a type 1 diabetic.
So
nice guy too,
Chief. What would that mean to you as a fellow diabetic to know?
That'd be pretty cool.
Yeah, representation.
Pretty cool. Yeah, we've interacted on Twitter over our diabetes before, so
that's awesome.
It'd be cool. But yeah, Kendall's a really nice guy, and he was a heck of a player for both Auburn and the Pittsburgh Steelers, and he loves Auburn. So, you know.
So this just goes back to Gus trying to build the ultimate former Auburn player coaching staff, right?
Yes, absolutely. Okay. Absolutely. And you know, I know that myself and others have been critical of other hires of guys with little to no experience, Carnell being one. But Kendall is going to be taking over. He's not going to be offensive coordinator. He's going to be offensive line coach, and he's a Pro Bowler, and which Carnell was too, but he's also been working with the team as a GA or whatever as well. He didn't just come from a year of high school coaching to do this. Yeah. But who knows if that's actually the guy. It seems the most likely because, I mean, it's pretty late in the hiring season.
Right.
Well, I mean, you could be looking for a head coach if you were another team in the SEC West right now.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Ryan's favorite team is without a coach currently, all of a sudden, after the big hiring time. And the NFL seems to be gobbling up some of the likely candidates. So that's interesting.
It's going to be emotional blitzer Ty Grantham at Mississippi State, isn't it?
I mean, that's who I think it's going to end up being.
Just don't be Chiz. I don't want to have to play him.
I would love for Auburn to be the only school in the world that would offer Chiz another role back as like an assistant. I think he would take it.
Oh, that'd be great.
I think Chiz is pretty happy doing what he's doing right now.
Look, it doesn't get better than selling chicken fingers in Auburn.
No.
that is a gold mine.
Selling cigarettes. It literally is selling cigarettes.
I don't think that's his main gig.
No. However,
does he do something else?
This is what the difference between me and the average person who can become a major college football coach. The second I got my buyout, I would never work again. I wouldn't be on TV. I wouldn't be trying to coach. I wouldn't be trying to be some nothing analyst for Saban. I would have bought a boat and no one would see me again the rest of my life. Me and my wife and kiddo would be sailing the Caribbean doing literally nothing but spending $6 million for the rest of my life. Or in Chiz's case, what was it, like $20 million that Auburn paid him?
I think that's why he was able to take said time off. He probably paid for his house out there. He's able to put all his kids through school.
You know how long it would take me to spend $20 million? I'd love to find out. But I think it would be a boat and a couple of like timeshares, and that'd be it. Me and
a chicken finger. Restaurant.
Me and the fam would just be going to Saint somewhere. Jimmy Buffett would say.
I'll tell you what I'd do with $20 million. I would build a Wingstop in Auburn. First thing that would happen.
You and Rick Ross.
I'd get me a little lot on Lake Martin.
By a lot of
Lake Martin.
Well, it's close.
Yeah, but if you have $20 million, you could probably get a place at a lot like more exotic locale than Lake Martin.
True, but the one on Lake Martin is going to be
a lot. You could get Lake Guntersville.
Well, guys, I already have a lot on Lake Guntersville for my friends. It's not mine personally, obviously, but
this is the most this is the most redneck just coming to money thing I've ever heard.
I'd buy some Forerunners, not Forerunners, wave runners,
jet skis, yeah, jet skis,
a fleet of jet skis.
No, I would probably buy a boat, or I'd just buy my dad's boat from him since he doesn't get to use it because nobody ever wants to use it with him. And
so far, you've spent less than half of this money.
And then I'd maybe invest in Everton Football Club.
Now we're talking.
that was my thing when the lotto was so big several years ago. Everton seemed to be for sale at the time. I was definitely just going to buy Everton with my winnings if I won it all.
Chief, you could buy a heck of an aquarium for $20 million.
You know, I could. I'd probably do that.
You buy the Atlanta aquarium.
You
know,
you could buy a lake probably, for $20.
I'd probably move to a nicer neighborhood than I live in now.
You guys would never. I love you both, but you would never hear from me again. Like, what ever happened to Crow? Well, I don't know, man. I'm in Bermuda, but I don't know.
You could be a heck of a bagman.
Oh, million. I would buy. I'd buy the seats and the blue seats at the basketball stadium.
I probably wouldn't go to another.
Oh, yeah.
I love Auburn basketball, but I probably wouldn't go to many games because I'd be sitting courtside at Mavs games or. No, I wouldn't even be in Dallas. Forget it. I'd be like sitting courtside at the horse race in Dubai.
Oh yeah, if I had 20 million, I wouldn't sit in the blue seats. I'd sit courtside at Auburn. Yeah. That's what I would do.
Now,
Chief Arena.
Here's a question for you guys.
Yeah.
Wait, dadgummit. Lost a lot of my train of thought just now. Okay. So, let's pretend for one weird thing that Chiz goes to Mississippi State.
Ugh, I don't like to think about that, but okay.
Does that change your opinion of the 2010 narrative of Mississippi State having a problem and then it becoming an Auburn problem?
I don't know. No.
It's very strange because, like, for me, I dislike Mississippi State a lot, and a lot of it has to do with 2010.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, I don't know. I still just sort of nothing them. But, yeah, that whole thing was ugly, ugly business. And it was a Mississippi State problem. I had said that long before it became like – because I think Chiz actually said this out loud at one point that he didn't understand how a Mississippi State problem became an Auburn problem. But the entire time I was just like, how is this – why is Auburn being – like Auburn didn't do anything. There's nobody on the phone saying Auburn offered him any money.
Right.
It's Kenny Rogers, not that Kenny Rogers, at Mississippi State.
I always felt like it was that player? Kenny Rogers.
Yeah, oh Jesus, Ryan!
Not the baseball player, Ryan. The Texas Ranger great Kenny Rogers. This is the gambler.
The
himself.
Gambler.
You gotta know when to hold 'em.
Oh yeah, the guy from was it the Geico commercial?
Know when to fold 'em. The guy from the Seinfeld episode.
Know
with
when
the
to walk away.
Know when to run. You never count your money.
Your money.
When you're sitting at the table, there'll be time enough for counting when the dealing's done. Ryan, I implore you to listen to the entire The Gambler song as often as possible for the next couple of days. Okay.
Do it.
So
how are you going to turn that into a parody song?
Well, I could.
Oh. Could.
Yeah.
Did we want to talk about we're talking about Chiz and Mississippi. If there's one fan base that hates Chizik more than anyone else, it's probably that fan base though, right?
I don't know. Iowa State probably wasn't too fond of him.
Yeah.
That be to be an Iowa State fan? And the dude goes, what was it like? 2-19?
5-19.
5-19 at your school and then wins a dadgum national championship.
2 years later.
2 years later. Unbelievable. All right, so I have a funny tweet from the great Roger Bennett. I shared it in the Slack, and I thought it encapsulated fandom better than anything I've ever heard. Being a fan of Everton Football Club is like being addicted to ice cream and also being lactose intolerant. It's It was one of the greatest things I ever read.
Yes.
And there are times where I feel that way about being an Auburn football fan, especially like during the bowl game. It was like being addicted to ice cream, yet being lactose intolerant.
Did either of you ever feel like, especially in the second half of that game, that we were going to win?
No, I didn't think we were going to win after the first quarter. And I was like, yeah, this team wants to win more than our team does. Good on them. Great year, Minnesota. That was my first thought.
And then I had to sit through that exact same game on Sunday, watching Everton Football Club lose to Liverpool Football Club, which is a way bigger game than our bowl game was. It was disgusting. But
except that Everton played Liverpool's.
Oh yeah, I know. That's what I'm saying. It's the same situation. No, it's their B team, because they don't. You got to realize they don't have much of a second team, really. It's the same situation though, because I mean Minnesota had two 4-star above athletes on that team.
Right.
And, they simply wanted it more. And we just kind of, we didn't give up. I've heard, I think it was Denson after the game, like our defensive guys just seemed, they're like, we haven't seen this stuff before.
That was surprising to me.
Just got caught off guard.
I'll tell you something. Gus, it hasn't even been a week since this game, and I remember not very much of it. I mean, nothing stood out in that game.
Right.
I mean, there's a few big plays early, but it was just, I don't know.
Yeah. I mean, that's the way I felt during it. I was like, why am I even watching this? It's just, it was so, they kept the ball most of the game, for one.
It was a Big Ten game.
maybe that's why I hated it so much. I didn't drink enough to deal with that. It was, I don't know. It's hard to be upset. I was just upset because then I knew other people would be upset and complain about Gus, basically. And I think our friend Josh pointed out that the game was important not because it's a bowl game, but because it was important for Gus to get away from that whole 9-4, 8-5 coach.
Yeah, getting the 10 wins is, you can actually puff your chest about that.
All the complaints I saw after the game, I'm thinking, and you guys would have said, well, it doesn't matter. We just played Minnesota if we'd won. So it.
Well, it's everybody. He hasn't won a bowl game that we cared about.
Right.
The ones that you won, you didn't care about because you didn't lose them.
Yeah,
For the national championship, and is that it? I mean, I don't know. None of those beating Wisconsin. You're not like, oh yeah, remember that time we beat Wisconsin in the Outback Bowl? No, you don't.
We lost Wisconsin.
We lost.
Exactly. That's my point.
Yeah. Yeah,
but if you had won, if we had won that game, nobody cares.
Okay, I think that's a bad example because I think people would have been like, "Oh, we finally beat Wisconsin," and so it'd be that, "Oh, that time we finally beat Wisconsin." And
yeah, but it's still the year that you could have gotten to the playoff and then lost three straight,
or the year that Nick Marshall finally won a bowl game.
Yeah, true. Ryan's favorite quarterback.
0-2 in bowl games, Nick Marshall.
Yeah.
Him and Bo Nix have the same number of bowl wins. And me.
Yeah.
Me, Nick Marshall, and Bo Nix have won as many bowl games as one another.
I don't think we need to spend a ton of time on that bowl game. It was just, it is what it is. And
are we going to be mad about the refs?
No.
Do we have to do that bit?
No.
Okay.
I mean, our guys been held all year. It's nothing new. I don't understand.
I was talking about the touchdown, the crazy.
Oh,
it was the best catch of the year, but he wasn't in.
Those were. I mean, they were bad, but whatever.
It was an exhibition. This is like me getting mad about the Pro Bowl.
Yeah, it is what it is. I'd just rather move on to basketball and baseball, which is starting soon, and we'll talk about football again sometime in the summer.
Well, before we leave football, we do have we've got – it's about the players and not about all this other crap. We're losing a couple guys to the draft.
Yeah. Aaron Sipos.
Aaron Sipos was kind of a surprise.
Yeah.
You mean punters don't normally get drafted?
He's not going to get drafted. What is he doing?
Well, he's like 29 years old.
27. Yeah.
I mean, just because you're not going to get drafted doesn't mean you aren't.
Yeah, I guess you go
picked up somewhere. It's like he's, I don't know, he's probably done hanging out with 20 year olds.
Yeah.
Yeah, I would too. Does he have a family?
Is he's got a wife, I think, or at least a fiance.
Yeah. College isn't fun, man. I mean,
more importantly, though, Noah Igbinoghene is going to the draft.
I say, Anya Sippo. Anya.
I never got to ask him if he was a big Tim Cahill fan.
Oh, man, of course.
Should have had him on the pod.
The king of the own goal.
Yeah, Iggy going to the draft.
Yeah, I think that one, it was kind of surprising.
A little bit,
but it's like he'll probably get a chance to play, and
yeah,
guy's ready to go. He's ready to go. I mean, he's going to be one of the faster DBs.
It reminds me of when Gerard Powers went, maybe even less so when Gerard went. I was like, what in the world is he thinking? Most people were like, wow, that's weird. And then he ended up having a pretty good career in the NFL. So.
Well, it's crazy. So, you know, Iggy came in as a wide receiver.
Yep.
So he's only been a true defensive back for, 18 months?
Yeah, something like that, I guess.
Before last season?
Yeah.
So if he gets drafted, that is a huge testament to the defensive staff, isn't it? I mean, he's teaching him a new position, regardless of his talent. That's got to look good.
Yeah.
It'll definitely be a recruiting point, I think. Though Auburn's track team could be taking a bit of a hit. If you lose an Iggy, Shorts may be deciding on the Olympics soon, right?
He has to qualify.
Yeah.
It's mainly like if he qualifies for the Olympics.
Right.
Yeah, that's what I think that whole thing means. If he qualifies for the Olympics, he's gone, which he should be. That's fine. If he doesn't, then he might as well stick with football, right?
Anybody who's
I don't think it's anything like he's just qualifying
for the Olympics is an idiot. Yeah.
I don't think it's anything about like, oh, he's just he doesn't want to be playing football at Auburn anymore. That's not what's happening. It's if you get a chance to go win a gold medal and what was it, Tokyo, the next Olympics?
I think that's right.
Yes. Yeah. It's this summer.
If you get a chance to go represent your country, you do that.
Yeah. So. We got the Olympics this summer and the Euros. This summer.
Hell yeah. Let's go Germany and Belgium. That's my two teams in the Euros, Ryan.
I'm not familiar with the
Hedging
Euros.
My bets. I think one of those. This might be Belgium's year, as a matter of fact.
Is this cycling or is this football?
So this is football.
Association football.
Yeah, it's all the European teams play each other like tournaments, similar to the World Cup.
So I need to pick a random team then, right?
Countries.
Oh, yeah. I'm gonna pull you into my Euro fantasy league. We only had two participants the last time.
give me Portugal.
They won the last one.
Cool.
Lame. Right. Lame. Boo.
They have Cristiano Ronaldo. He is beautiful.
Yeah. They won't have Andre Gomez. Who would have been on their team, but Son Heung-min, great guy that he is, even though he's got more red cards than anybody else in the league, broke his leg, so he won't be there. But yeah, it's Belgium maybe, France maybe.
Cristiano Ronaldo looks like a cologne commercial.
Yes. Yeah, you can actually smell him when you see him. It's like Drakkar Noir.
I bet it's incredible. I bet in real life, even during the middle of a match, he smells incredible.
Yeah, probably not wrong.
Just like Jarrett Stidham.
Oh, hey, he could be the Patriots QB this next year.
Yeah, it's very true.
Speaking
of, or Tua is.
Yeah. I don't know what we were talking about.
Anything else on football?
Oh, no. Did anybody else go that we didn't expect? Nick Coe, maybe, I guess.
Yeah. I mean, I think we all kind of knew that was going to happen. Yeah.
We're gonna have some new faces on the field next year. That's for sure.
Whole new offensive line, whole new defense, sans linebackers, right? And Roger McCreary is the only guy in the secondary coming back.
Yeah, KJ Britt announced he was staying, so that's good.
Oh, that's good. Yeah. Did Bo Nix say if he was coming back?
Well, yeah, I don't know.
Bonix.
Hey, it's Kaylee Cuoco for Priceline. Ready to go to your happy place for a happy price? Well, why didn't you say so? Just download the Priceline app right now and save up to 60% on hotels. So whether it's Cousin Kevin's Kazoo Concert in Kansas City, go Kevin! Or Becky's Bachelorette Bash in Bermuda, you never have to miss a trip ever again. So download the Priceline app today. Your savings are waiting.
Go to your happy place for a happy price. Go to your happy price, Priceline.
Anyway, basketball? Or we want to take a break?
Let's take a break. Take a break. When we come back, we're going to talk basketball. And we're back.
So if we're going to start on basketball, we got to start with Madison Pruitt on The Bachelor, right?
Nope.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. did you guys watch?
Nope.
Me either.
Nope.
You guys aren't big Bachelor fans?
Are you?
No, my wife is.
Never have I ever watched a Bachelor or Bachelorette.
I me either. I don't.
If she happened to go all the way to hometowns, you got to imagine Bruce is going to be a part of that.
Number one, no, I don't know what that is. Number two, definitely already know. Even if I were in it, I wouldn't watch it.
They went and they filmed a bunch of stuff at Bruce's house. So I may watch that because if Bruce is involved, I'll watch it.
I'll see the highlights. Okay, on Twitter.
So I guess that means we got to tag this thing with spoilers or something. People might get real upset. But
if the Venn diagram of Orange and True listeners and Bachelor like diehards, if you're part of that Venn diagram, man, I apologize.
Are you holding out on us? Did you maybe like serenade them with We've Got Jared?
No,
you know, just like Auburn Arena, nobody else there, just you singing We've Got Jared to them.
Spoiler for The Bachelor. I do not appear in this season of The Bachelor.
Oh, I don't believe it.
And even if I did, I wouldn't watch.
How does The Bachelor work? Do they like propose to them at the end? What happens?
They have to get married.
Literally, they go to the end and the guy has two of them come up, like one after the other, and breaks up with one of them and proposes to the other. That's how the show ends.
Wow.
It's just true love, guys. True love.
That is... I hate reality TV so bad.
They have to have two kids, don't they?
Ugh.
What?
They're required to get married and have two children. It's the weirdest show in the world, The Bachelor. I'd actually maybe watch it if that was the case. If there were like kids' lives on the line, I'd watch that show. Meanwhile, it's just a facade of what we think in the West relationships and love are. It really tells more about the people who watch it than it does about people on the show.
Well, I think so too.
No one knows what love is anymore. Speaking of love, I love the Auburn University men's basketball team.
Oh,
and they beat the absolute stink off the Mississippi State Bulldogs.
Excuse me, you forgot something. The top five Auburn men's basketball team.
Now we're talking. Yes.
Top five consensus top. Are top we top, in the top five in all of them?
Yeah, I think we are number five in every major poll.
No. In the two human polls, but we're
right,
like
that's what I'm saying. Okay, not the computer.
There will be a little number five next to our name when we play next.
I don't think we're not a unanimous top five. I don't think. I think somebody's got us at eight still or something like that. But we're haters. A consensus.
Haters have us
consensus
at eight.
Top five thing. Great. It's good. Feels good to be an Auburn Tiger. Been fun to watch these games, and it was really great to see us, as Crow said, beat the stink off them dogs.
How'd that feel, Ryan?
Winning at the hump.
How'd that feel?
Hey, it's the place where I saw my first college basketball game.
You like that, as Kirk Cousins would say? You like that?
Like that? What is that, like our third win and a million tries at the hump?
Why is it called the Hump? Well, does it have anything to do with dogs?
The Humphrey. It's the Humphrey
Coliseum, yeah.
Oh, it doesn't have anything to do with Bulldogs and their predilection for getting on your leg. And
something tells me there's a little something to that. It's a little double entendre, as they say.
Well, Clark, you're better off listening.
Speaking French over here. So this was the biggest win of the year so far. I mean,
absolutely.
Yeah, they're like borderline top 50 KenPom. Was on the road.
Big win.
And it was ugly.
That's what you call a Q1 win.
Ugly. Yeah, Q1 win. But we had, 9 points 15 minutes into the game or something like that?
Yeah. It was a real crap show.
Real barn burner.
at first. And then we just, in that second half, we just busted it wide open. My man Dangelo Purifoy just went in there and forced it down their throats, if you will.
Oh, Chief.
What?
No, the most abrasive podcast host in the Auburn family. Chief.
How would you describe what he did? He broke the game open.
Here's what I like about that: is that Dangelo Purifoy up until this point has had a pretty meh offensive season, but finally there was a stretch of basketball where he reminded everybody that he is a natural scorer of the basketball.
Yeah, two games in a row he's done it.
Yeah, and I think that Auburn's gonna need that, because we really don't have a lot more natural scorers on the team. Dangelo, when he can play, when he's playing up to his ability, is effortless. He makes the ball go in the basket without having to do a whole lot of extra effort. He's a really good offensive basketball player.
Can I ask you how many points he had in this game? Just without looking.
17. No, he had 17 the night before, or the game before, right?
Crow.
14?
He had 11.
Okay.
Meanwhile, somebody had 28. Oh,
Javon had a hell of a game.
Javon McCormick
is 28 games more than the number of capital letters in his name?
Yeah. SEC player of the week.
Counting that.
SEC player of the week, Javon.
It's someone that learned how to just hit his free throws finally, Javon.
I love Javon McCormick.
Knocking down those threes. Samir's having a little rough patch here, and Javon and Dangelo seem to be picking up the slack, so that's good. Did Austin get a double-double in this? I don't think he did.
No, he only had five rebounds, but he also had five blocks.
Yeah, those big guys were giving him a lot of trouble. They were being allowed to get away with a lot under the basket.
Yeah, well, they had one guy might be, if not the most physical, one of the most physical guys we're going to face all season, and Abdul Adu. He had 9 blocks in this game.
Jeez.
That's
it felt like 90 blocks.
That's not good if you're Auburn.
Is that a do? He was fairly impressive. I don't think he was any sort of offensive dynamo, but
no.
he was.
No, I think he only had like 5 or 6 points.
But
9 blocks. Again, and this is the Auburn has not been a team that has given up a lot of blocks this year.
Which is why we win games, even still, because we're a team that gets to the rim a lot, but doesn't get our shots blocked a lot. Then all of a sudden, you got a guy who's blocking our shots, and Auburn again has to find yet another way to win basketball games.
And to their credit, they adjusted, came back out after the half. Really, it started before the half.
It was the last 5 minutes.
Climbed out of our hole and then took the game over and really controlled it the rest of the game. We didn't let them dictate our pace either, which is how we ended up scoring a billion points, and they barely broke 50. So. Not a billion.
It ended up Auburn was able to play better possession basketball in this game. I mean, Mississippi State was kind of turning the ball over all over the place.
Yeah,
they weren't getting any assists or anything like that. I mean, they weren't able to pass the ball.
My biggest takeaway was, thank God they can't shoot.
Yeah.
Man, they were terrible. Yeah.
They were as bad as Auburn early in the game. They never really got better.
Yeah. And that was at home for them, too, which is not a good sign for them. And now, if they could get that together, then they'll be great. And they were good defensively. The fouls in this game were pretty wild. At one point it was like 10 to 4 foul ratio, Auburn to them. So I don't know, make of that what you will. But
this was a fun basketball game to watch, but you can't really say about a lot of Auburn's games. Some of the games this year have been slogs. This one was actually a really entertaining and fun bit of entertainment television. I actually liked it. And I was so scared. I mean, the guys on the Slack know. Weeks ago, I was saying I thought we were going to lose.
Well, everybody was. All you guys were scared in the Slack.
Here's the secret.
I was never really scared.
We're not losing a game this year.
What's that, Ryan?
Oh, no,
we're not losing a game this year.
No, Ryan, we're definitely losing to Alabama. Like, that's going to happen.
Come on.
Chief, you need to barn a little bit harder.
Well, this is pure peak barn would be winning almost all of our SEC games except for Alabama.
I hope we win
Auburn,
every
Auburn
single
football
game.
Will lose a game before Auburn basketball does.
Oh,
I mean, I think we can win every game.
Man,
our I think Josh, according to Josh Dubb, our most likely outcome at this point via I think his numbers are coming from KenPom is 13-5, which seems like it could be good enough to win the conference.
That's a one seed.
That gets you to 26-5.
That's pretty good. I think is what I said we were going to be before the season started. We'll have to go back and look.
If we go 26-5, man. Here, think about this. I want everybody to say this out loud, or at least in your head, if you're listening to this podcast, whether you're driving to work or maybe you're driving home from work, I want you to think NCAA tournament most outstanding player, Javon McCormick.
Oh, it could happen. It could happen.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
You going to stand for your guy, Austin Wiley?
Oh, no. Here's the thing about Austin. Did you see what was his name? A fairly recent addition to the Auburn basketball Twittersphere posted a pretty cool stat. His name
was it Auburn?
No,
AWBA.
No, you're talking about
Samir's headband.
Oh,
okay.
Oh. Is that you?
It's not me.
Is that your burner account?
Is that Ferg?
The fact that Son of Crow is a burner account is hilarious, but. Yeah, I don't.
Well, your secret got out after the song.
I put my name on Twitter, by the way, yesterday.
Oh, did you?
Yeah.
Man.
At Ethan Day, Da American. Samir's headband. All right, guys. I want to have an Austin Wiley hype session after seeing a stat. He is currently averaging 1.82 points per field goal attempt this season.
I've been touting that all year.
That is insane. DeMarcus Cousins averaged 1.56. Anthony Davis was 1.68. Frank Kaminsky with 1.5. But his whole thread is pretty intense. Like, what that stat means, Ryan's right. He has been going over that all year. What that stat
he's
means,
actually down from where he was. He was up over two for a while.
Yeah, I before I jump on board this Austin Wiley hype train, I want to see what he does for the next four or five conference games. If he can keep it up, then the dude's...
Here's the thing. He had one of his worst games of the year and went 10-5 against his SEC team.
Zion, so he also notes that Zion Williamson was the most efficient college basketball player in the modern era. He had a PER 41 last year, and he averaged 1.71. So right now...
It's because he got stuffed by Horace.
Wiley is averaging a higher points per field goal attempt than the great Zion Williamson, who hasn't played a basketball game... since last year, which is sad because I think everyone's forgotten that he's really awesome. So he's going to win Rookie of the Year next year in a total Blake Griffin style.
Oh, yeah?
I think Chuma may have something to say about it.
Well, I don't know, man. I like Chuma a lot, but he's not Zion.
Is Zion actually going to play this year and so he can win Rookie this year?
No, Zion's not playing this year, man. I don't think.
Yeah, I didn't think
so. He's going to have to go up against Isaac Okoro next year.
Yeah.
It's tough sledding.
He could be Defensive Rookie of the Year. Did they do that?
No.
But yeah, no, Austin. Austin's going to be a big weapon. I mean, he's going to be the weapon that we deploy I think what we've seen is second half is when Wiley is really the one that it doesn't seem like he's taking over a game, but that's when he's getting his points. It's when he's getting a lot of his rebounds in the second half of games. And,
well, and he's turned into a, you know, not necessarily a good free throw shooter, but a good enough free throw shooter.
He went 14 for 14.
Yeah.
At one point. I mean, so.
Okay, we'll play this game too. What do you think his free throw percentage is this year?
80%.
Oh, that's a little high.
No. Well, I'm just thinking.
68. So he's, it's almost real nice.
I would have thought better.
But, I mean, I think his career is much lower than that.
Yeah.
He's
got to be close to 50% career. I think.
And so if you combine that, you just being a good enough free throw shooter with the fact that he draws 8 fouls a game.
Yeah. I think that's what hurt him against State is he didn't get to the line because they weren't calling the fouls.
Yeah.
On him. I think we went forever without seeing the free throw line. So, yeah. So tomorrow, or as you listen to this today, we got Vandy, right?
Yeah.
At home.
The second worst team in the SEC.
Yep. Yeah.
I like being Vanderbilt. I think it's just makes the universe feel like a safe place.
It's at home, so we don't have to worry about
any hoodoo.
Their bonkers sideways basketball court.
Stupid. It should not be allowed. It should not be allowed.
Yeah, the only way that shouldn't be allowed unless Auburn gets to make an octagonal basketball court. Gosh, I can't speak.
There you go.
Octagonal. Octagonal.
Yeah, these guys, you know, Vandy is not the Vandy that we've come to love and hate, or not love and hate. Yeah,
they did not win a conference basketball game last year.
Yeah, they were not good. Did they fire their coach again last year? What happened?
Is it Jerry Stackhouse there now?
Yeah, Jerry Stackhouse. Did they fire their coach?
Oh my God, he's Vandy?
Yeah.
Jerry Stackhouse will be in Auburn Arena, guys.
Do you know who else might be in Auburn Arena?
The world.
I can't confirm this, but there's a chance. Scottie Pippen Jr. is on this Vandy team.
Oh
yeah.
Man.
I really wish we could have signed that guy. Oh, is he any good?
Yeah, he's a freshman, and I think he's their like third leading scorer this year.
His dad's Scottie Pippen, man.
Well, okay. Michael Jordan's kids weren't that great at basketball.
Yeah, that's true. You know what I love about Jerry Stackhouse is that everybody who watches the NBA and knows a lot about the NBA understands that dude is ready to fight 100% of the time.
I know. I don't. That's why him being Vandy's coach is so weird.
Like, it would not shock me he is ready to give hands to anybody who comes close to that bench.
Yeah, that's interesting. That'll be very interesting.
Here we go. Here's some lists of Jerry Stackhouse fights. He beat the crap out of Christian Laettner one time on an airplane.
Doesn't everybody hate Christian Laettner?
In 1999.
Who can blame him?
Here's the best part about that
story. They were on the same team.
Christian Laettner had a broken rib at the time.
Aren't they on the same team?
Yeah, they were both on the Pistons, and they had a card game. It got bad, and Stack went after him. He does not care if you are on the injured list. If you owe him money, give him his money.
So we're saying Marquis should watch out.
Yeah, here's another great story. 1997, on the Pistons, he and his good friend, Allen Iverson, again, good friend, Allen Iverson are on the same team. And during practice, he punched Allen Iverson in the head. And after the game.
Not a game.
After the game, Jerry Stackhouse told the reporters, it was a fight between one guy who doesn't know how to fight, another guy who didn't want to fight.
So, I feel like anyone that has ever played basketball or maybe even football has known this guy before.
He's going to punch a kid.
I definitely had this guy on my basketball team when I was in high school.
Was it you, Chief?
No, it wasn't. It was Booney. Booney, my man Booney.
That's a good name for that role.
Yeah, he was ready to throw hands. But we always got along, so that was fine.
He almost got in a fight with Byron Scott in 2008, and that's interesting because Byron Scott was a coach in 2008, and he was coaching the Hornets. And Jerry Stackhouse was playing against the Hornets and almost fought him because he said, quote, "He's a sucker in my book." Yes! Jerry Stackhouse is my favorite coach in the SEC. Bruce Pearl number two.
Why did Vandy hire Jerry Stackhouse? That's what I'm trying to figure out here. Why? What was the...
What do you have to lose?
Vandy has a fairly steady basketball tradition, though.
The team that didn't win any conference games with, like, two NBA players last year?
Right. But
one was hurt.
Prior to this, they've had a pretty steady basketball program there. Playing by a different set of rules than everybody else, I guess. They were known for bringing in a lot of overseas talent there and being pretty good, shooting the three ball well.
Speaking of shooting the three well, they've got not a role player, but their best player, Aaron Nesmith, shooting 51% from three this year.
Ooh, that's Isaac Okoro. Your mission, should you choose to accept it, is to keep this guy from getting all the threes. Oh, my God.
He's averaging 24 a game. PR is at like 29.
Whoa. Yeah. Well, that's Agent Okoro is going to have to come to work that day. Yeah.
Hey, is it Okoro?
Oh, Jesus. Okoro. That
is everybody wrong with that one guy?
No. No. Why has no one corrected him?
What if the man
sits right next to him?
I think he's calling the game again tomorrow, just so y'all know.
What if we are all wrong there, and he is right?
I have to deal with that.
And it's Okoro.
No.
Guys, in 2005, Jerry Stackhouse got in a fight 20 minutes after his Dallas Mavericks beat the Jazz 88-81. Here's the deal. He's standing in the tunnel leading to the team bus of the Utah Jazz and then just started fighting Kirk Snyder, who was a rookie. This is an 05. Jerry Stackhouse has been in the league forever by this point.
It's like a 39-year-old dude beating up on a kid.
He's a man. He's 40.
Started throwing hands at Kirk Snyder. Apparently at Mavericks officials, security guards, his Mavericks teammates, drug Kirk Snyder back to the Mavs locker room. Security officials had to rush to break it up. There were reports that he knocked him out. The weird thing about Jerry Stackhouse, a lot of NBA guys fight. Very few guys are good at fighting, and even fewer guys win every fight they ever get into. Jerry Stackhouse was apparently not only good at fighting, but he won every single fight that he got into in the NBA. Beat the absolute stink out of Jeff Hornacek, and that's on the internet. You can find that on YouTube.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, I've seen that. No, I enjoyed that because I've never liked Jeff Hornacek.
Yeah, he gave him a 1-2 piece like you get at Popeyes.
Man alive. So this guy's going to be in Auburn Arena.
I can't wait. I hope he gets in a fight with somebody during the game. I hope it's a Vanderbilt player, though.
Scottie Pippen Jr. You think Scottie Pippen will be there like Ron Artest was there?
Maybe.
Dream scenario is he yells at Pippen Jr., Pippen yells at him, and he and Scottie Pippen get into a knockdown, drag-out fight in the stands.
I feel like we need Barkley there for this game.
Yeah, I was wondering.
I want Barkley there to shit talk him.
Yeah. If my man Pippen's there, then maybe Barkley will be there. They'll sit courtside or something together.
Maybe the Monstars will come and steal Isaac Okoro's talent. Who knows?
Speaking of beating up on people, I'm going to read you the KenPom rankings of Vandy's wins this year.
Yeah, let's hear them.
People talking about Auburn having a weak schedule.
How are they bad? But they sound
they're
really
8-5. They have beaten number 314, number 308, number 191, number 332, number 319, 150, 316, and hey, a top 182.
Oh, who was that?
Davidson.
Oh, same team.
Yeah.
That resume sucks.
It's a lot of 300s.
Who have they lost to?
Number 69, Richmond.
Oh, nice.
102, Tulsa. 47, Liberty. 105, Loyola. And 75, SMU.
Okay, so
Losses are respectable. They're wins.
Q1 losses, you know. I guess. This team is not making the tournament, is what you're trying to say.
No, they are projected at 13 and 18.
Yeah, not good. So, yeah. Yeah, we should win this game. deep cutting analysis there, I know, but
let's beat them.
This isn't the big game this week. I mean, let's be honest.
Yeah, the big game is Saturday.
We might be seeing the number one draft pick in Auburn Arena on Saturday.
Well, not after Isaac Okoro's gets through with him, I think.
Nah, dog.
The Hawks are drafting first.
The guy's been struggling the last few games, from what I hear.
Nah, dog. Dude, you don't think him or the other Anthony from North Carolina are going number one?
Oh, okay.
There's two guys named Anthony. One of them's going number one.
I thought you were insinuating that Isaac couldn't shut him down.
No, he might could.
It just doesn't matter.
Yeah.
The Hawks don't care.
So, as I understand it, didn't they have the number one class last year? Georgia?
Because of this dude.
But yeah, but still the one guy you should still... If you have the number one class, because the way I hear it, he doesn't have much around him.
No, he
got
nobody.
The number one class. Well, how does that happen when you have the number one class?
Because the difference between a NBA number one pick in the draft, five star, and the guy who might can play for you for 3 years, five star, is night and day. The problem is with basketball is we're still rating it on a 1 to 5 star scale, and we really should add a 6 star for cats who shouldn't even be here.
Or is it just that Tom Crean is not a very good coach?
Well, because look, Chief, for instance, Stretch was what?
Sure.
He was a 4 star, right?
Yeah.
He doesn't get any minutes.
Borderline 3-4.
Yeah.
Meanwhile, Isaac Okoro is 4-5, and he's going to be in the NBA. We got to get a new – we need a new star in basketball recruiting.
Yeah.
Chief, you're not crazy. They were number 11 in the country last year in the recruiting class.
But they had Anthony Edwards –
Yeah, they had
Anthony Edwards and four other 4 stars.
Yeah. Well, you'd think at least one of those guys would be good.
That is a huge signing class. They brought in 8 guys this offseason.
But the difference between a 4 star might not play his freshman year.
Sure. We're playing a bunch of 4 stars, though. Play Devin Cambridge and.
Yeah. But Devin Cambridge is not in the same league as Anthony Edwards.
Oh, you're right. You're right about that. But he could maybe start for somewhere. Like, I don't know. If he were starting, I wouldn't feel like he was giving no help to anybody.
True. I like Devin Cambridge a ton. But Anthony Edwards...
I wouldn't want to... I'm glad he's not starting. I think he's a little bit too much of a loose
cannon. Auburn had Devin Cambridge, Stretch, Alan Flanagan, and Javon Franklin. All those 3 stars last year.
As of this moment, Anthony Edwards, Georgia Bulldogs are beating Kentucky 37-31.
Is he having a good night? I was kind of curious about that.
He has got 8 points.
So here's the thing. Like, I haven't watched him play this year, so I'm not going to say that he's not good. But just looking at his numbers are not that good.
What are you talking? He's averaging 18 a game.
And his usage percent is like 40%. He takes all of the shots.
Yeah, that's not good.
That's like James Harden having a 20-point night. Like, good, sure, whatever.
Yeah, that you're right. That isn't good.
Yeah, but he's also shooting 40% from the field. So it isn't like he's not making good shots.
But he's not like he's making threes though.
He's just not shooting good free throw. He is a 75% free throw percentage. So if he gets fouled, he doesn't score a lot of points. Whereas James Harden shoots
95% from free throw. Great compared to what we've been doing this year.
Yeah, like James Harden has a 40% usage rate, but his free throw percentage is like in the 90s. So you foul him, it's points. You foul Anthony Edwards, it's maybe points.
I'm just having a hard time imagining Goose being good at basketball.
I feel you, man.
Ryan, was Maverick's wingman in a 1980s movie called Top Gun.
They're making a follow-up.
Oh, yeah. They're doing the sequel.
Yes, they are.
Here's Anthony Edwards' point totals that stick out to me. He's got a 29-point game, a 37-point game, a 23-point game, and a 24-point game. A 37-point game against number 3 Michigan State. That's nuts.
Okay, and his last game against Memphis, you know, ranked Memphis, top 10 win. Good job for Georgia.
He had 13, 5 rebounds, 4 assists.
13 points.
He had 4 assists, 5 rebounds.
13 points on 17 shots.
2 turnovers.
Sounds like a worse Ja Morant, to be honest with you.
Well,
just based on these numbers.
In my opinion, Chief,
this sounds like what everybody thought Ja Morant. Bryce Brown was until senior year. Again, I'm not talking about his talent level because I'm sure all of these scouts know what they're talking about.
I think his measurables You're saying his numbers are a lot better than Ja Morant's too.
Here's the thing: he's a lot like Trae Young in that Trae Young had to take every blessed shot for that Oklahoma team for them to have a shot.
Yeah.
Like even in that game, he was 2 for 5 from 3, and had 5 rebounds.
Enough about him, though. What is everybody else on the team doing?
Nothing.
I think that if we focus on this one guy and we can shut him down, what's everybody else going to do?
So they've got one other guy who's having a decent year, Rayshon Hammonds. He's their big. He's having an all right year. I mean, he's a pretty good player.
Handle Austin Wiley? What do we think there?
No, I mean, I say he's their big, but he's 6'9", and he's the biggest guy on the team.
Nice.
They're a pretty small team. I think Mac and Wiley should be able to have a game in this one.
Austin Wiley, who is maybe the SEC player of the year at this point.
Well, not based on his recent SEC performance, but I guess if you're taking the full season, sure.
Full season.
He's still got a 32 PER right now, or 31 or something.
No, anybody who doesn't vote him on the SEC first team is basically saying we don't care about advanced statistics in this conference.
It's happened before.
They probably don't. That's
the
sad part.
We had some guys left off last year, if you recall. They probably should.
Well, last year, that's tough. Auburn spread the ball around a lot last year, and advanced stats were not as high on Auburn and any individual Auburn player last year as they are on Austin right now. Like, he has a higher PER now than Chuma could have sniffed last year.
Yeah.
And I'm not going to sit here and say he's better than Chuma Okeke was at the end of last year, but his advanced stats are better.
Yeah, I'd like to see what Chuma's advanced stats look like from March on.
Here's the better question, and this is probably the most controversial opinion I have, is does Chuma Okeke start over Isaac Okoro right now?
No, but he starts over Dangell.
But they both play the three. Let's say they're both playing
the
3.
No, he played the 4 a lot. If you don't,
Chuma played the 4 last year.
If you got to put one of them in, and you got to put one on the bench, which one is on the bench?
Isaac.
Dangell.
No, not Dangell. I'm talking between Chuma and Isaac.
I'm putting Isaac on the bench because Chuma is could also defend pretty much anybody, and he could score.
So he's a more reliable scorer. Better question. Are you playing freshman Chuma over freshman Isaac?
No.
And I'm playing freshman Isaac. If we're talking about tournament Chuma, is probably tournament Chuma.
I'm talking about Chuma as of this point last year.
Yeah, I'd still put Chuma in because he can knock down those clutch threes you need, and I don't really trust Okoro to do that.
Man, I don't know. Okoro is so good on defense. That
he is, but one side Chuma, of the court is so good. I think you're forgetting how good Chuma was on defense. Chuma was really good.
He was our best defender.
Yeah.
So in conference play last year,
but the good news is though he played the 4, so you get to have them both on the floor. But go ahead.
Sorry, in conference play last year, Chuma had double digit games in 15 of 18 games.
Yes,
and one of those was a 9.
It's pretty good.
And he had 3 triple doubles, 4 triple doubles. Sorry, not triple doubles, double doubles.
I was like, what?
You don't have a
missed that. Sorry.
You're talking about a first round pick that or a
four double
number
doubles.
One pick number there. Jeez. 4 double doubles?
Yeah.
Isaac had how many points yesterday? or not yesterday, against the state.
I know he was double digits. I'd have to go hang
like 12.
Dude's played, he has a double digit points in 100% of his conference games.
He had 14-8 last week, or Saturday.
He had 14-8 playing the three.
Yeah.
That's not, dude, that's so good. He's so good.
Like this is. Good news is they both, and that's without shooting. That's without hitting threes.
14-8 playing the three and hitting no threes.
Like 20% shooting.
The good news is actually, what maybe happens is Chuma plays the three and Isaac plays the four. If we have them.
Isaac is a two. By the way, like naturally, he's a two.
That's wild.
But
no, he's not. He doesn't shoot threes.
Well, that's Isaac's problem, but from a skill set otherwise standpoint and size, he's a two.
He's 6'7", right?
Yeah, he'll play two next year.
Yeah, that's true. That's true.
And so he's got to learn to shoot threes. Because right
I mean,
now
he does. He's just not great at it.
Michael Kidd-Gilchrist is kind of his comp. He just plays defense and then sometimes can shoot sometimes. But he's a two. So in actuality, Auburn could have played Jared, Isaac, Chuma, Mac, Wiley.
But you lose Bryce there, and I don't think you can do that.
Bryce coming off the bench, playing against a bunch of backups on the other team, just torching dudes.
Or you just have Bryce instead of Mac, you know?
Yeah.
I don't know.
Chuma at the four. Why are you so against Chuma at the four?
Because Chuma's a three.
This isn't the NBA, bro. Come on.
Chuma's taller than
Think about the matchup situation.
Chuma was the five for a little bit of his freshman year.
Yeah.
Yeah, Chuma's bigger than Mac.
Think about the matchup problems you give a team when you've got a 6'7" 2 and a 6'10" 3. You kill teams. What are they going to do? And it isn't like Chuma can't run or Okoro can't run.
Well, Chuma probably can't run great.
I don't know. Chuma's probably like if Chuma come back, he'd be getting close to
Ryan's
playing
right. Now. Chuma can't run right now because he's got a torn ACL.
No, he doesn't. Not anymore. That was 9 months ago. 10 months ago.
What are you talking about? I guess holy shoot, it was 9 months ago.
Yeah. It was 9 months
ago. He's like the dude is probably running now.
You could have gotten you could have gotten your wife pregnant and she would have had a kid. Since Chuma Okeke got hurt.
Yeah, Bruce's daughter had her kid that was admittedly a Final Four baby.
God bless.
Did you guys know that?
God bless that.
Congratulations.
That child. Well, guys, I don't know what else to talk about. We've been talking for an hour about a bunch of nonsense.
Baseball practice starts tomorrow, I think.
We don't have to do that yet. Don't make me do that.
Throwing it out there. We don't have to analyze it.
We're calling Drew Mack in a couple weeks for update us to what we need to know.
Let's do it like at least a week before the season starts, not like in January.
Well, the season starts middle of February.
Dadgummit.
You got softball before that.
The problem with baseball is it just reminds me that the other sports are about to end. Everything about baseball is just reminding me that at some point I'm going to have to put up with baseball is the only thing on TV in the middle of the summer. And then it's the Little League World Series.
You could be worse. It could just be golf.
Man.
There is that little sliver of time where it's just golf.
Ugh.
And that's it.
Ugh. And it isn't even good golf. It's like
when are you talking about,
Open.
Chief?
After, before opening day, after March Madness.
That doesn't line up.
Opening
March
day
Madness
is...
ends at March Madness ends after opening day.
No.
Yes.
When? When is opening day? In March? No, it's
not. It's March 25th this year.
No, what?
Take a look.
Good God! It's not usually that early.
You talk
it's
about
not,
baseball.
It's not March?
They're
moving
the season up too many.
No, I mean normally it's like April 1st or April 2nd.
No, it's usually at least a week after March Madness is over. I mean, March Madness didn't used to go into April either, so and now it does every year.
Well, at least the NBA has come to its senses and moved its playoffs later and later to where the finals are now like almost into July. Otherwise, I just can't put up with it.
Yeah, it used to be mid-May.
Yeah,
is when the conference finals were in mid-May.
Now they're late June is like the end of the NBA finals.
And then it's the middle of the baseball season. Then
you just put up with 162 of these things.
How many basketball games are there?
82.
Half that.
There's too many NBA games, and there are twice as many baseball games.
I've gone on record as saying the best NBA season was the lockout year of, 10 years ago now, or 14 years ago.
The one where it was 70 games. I agree. 70 games is perfect.
It's great. It was great.
Yeah, 70 games is the perfect number of games for the NBA.
Because everybody was playing every game like it was like they had
to. The problem with that year was that the first 25 games, nobody was in shape.
Yeah.
Because they didn't know that the season was going to start. So everybody was just fat and out of shape, and the numbers were horrible.
That's a great excuse, though, isn't it? Because you knew the lockout wasn't going to be all season.
Well, they.
So it's like, oh, well, technically, I guess if it's a lockout, I can't work out. Yeah. I mean,
they were working out, just not as hard as normal, I would think. And they were all playing, right?
They all played their way into shape for the first couple of weeks of the year, but like scoring was down across the league. But then by the end, it was like, oh crap, we only have like 5 games left. We don't know who the number one seed is. It was a great year.
That was a good year.
All right, guys. I cannot wait to get back to Auburn and record another episode back in the Crow compound next week. Between now and then.
I'm excited to – are either of you going to the game, the Georgia game? I'm going.
I'll be at both of them.
Unless somebody gives me tickets, I'm not going.
Well, just need to put it out there. Let everybody know who you are.
Hey, if you want to give me tickets, at Son of Crow 2 on Twitter.
You got to get the celebrity letter into the game. Right.
Yeah, you would think that'd be the case.
Hey, the follow-up act was Albie. Man.
Wow.
You were Albie's opener.
Me and Albie. Who'd have thought? Not me.
Same week.
Who'd have thought?
Look at us.
Look at us.
Albie was on The Bachelor.
Yeah, exactly. I wish Albie would be The Bachelor.
That would be great.
Yeah.
Right? It's like the Masked Bachelor.
Yes. All right. I'll see you guys next week.
Bonos.
Bonos.